Let's see here. We'll start in 1 Timothy 2. Praise God. If you're visiting with us for the first time, man, welcome to Family Church. God's going to speak to you tonight. He's got such a better life for yourself than you could have ever imagined. You know what's awesome about God is if you grew up religious-wise, or if you watch the news or maybe some movies, you'll think God's mad at you and you'll think God's after you and that God doesn't have good things for you. But thank God that's not the case. God's a God of mercy, love, faithfulness, and blessing. And the Bible says about God, it says that He's the God that can do exceeding, abundant, above all that you could ever ask or think. So you can think of a good scenario for the outcome of your life, and you can picture how you'd like your life to turn out, and the good things lining up, whether it's with your kids, relationships, with your business, with your job, with family, whatever, you can picture it. But just know this, that God says, I can do better than you can even think. Isn't that awesome? And I'll tell you what, I have some really good thoughts about how my life's going to turn out. Some really big things, some really exciting things that I want to see for my kids, for the churches, for my family and different things. And God can top what I can even try to even imagine in my head. That's awesome. That's the kind of God that you're going to experience tonight and meet tonight. And let's just pray and believe Him for the right words so you can actually experience that. Father, we do love You and are so honored to be here. Lord, I wish that I could, Father, display outwardly how excited and thrilled I am for people that come out to these services. Lord, I know that the watering of the Word is where people will grow. I know that this is where we get our help and our change. And Father, I'm just so thrilled. And so, Lord, I ask that You bless them for coming out. Father, the good weather's winding down. There's probably things we could be doing. We're always busy, it seems, all times of the year, sometimes more than others. Maybe some people are in their busiest seasons. And Lord, they came out to hear the Word, and I just pray that You'd bless them, that they would know that it was worth it, that they'd walk out of here changed. And Father, we put You first. We seek the kingdom, so You're going to add to us tonight. And we thank You, Father, that the Word is spoken as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, we thank You. We walk out of here changed. We walk out of here different. We walk out of here better. And Father, we thank You. We're going to walk into everything that You have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these Wednesday nights, I was led to start a series on prayer. And I hope after last week that you had some sweet fellowship with your Father this week. And we just talked about last week how much He just likes to hear you talk to Him and how much He likes to hear you love on Him. And, you know, like a natural dad, you know, Caleb will just tell me He loves me. That's special, you know, and it just melts me. And how much more for God? He has such a capacity to love. I have a heart. It's hard to grasp how much of a capacity He could have to hurt as well. And He just loves it when we love Him. So I hope that your fellowship has been real with Him this past week and dynamic with Him. And if not, just start up tonight and just make, He's with you all the time, just wants to talk to you. But we're going to start moving into different aspects of prayer now. And so tonight's part three of our series. And we're going to start in 1 Timothy 2 in verse 5. And we're going to go ahead and read that verse. It says, for there is one God, not many gods. There's one God. That's what I love about the boldness of Jesus, right? You know, everybody wants to be so politically correct nowadays. You can't be politically correct and follow the Bible. You can't. The Bible doesn't leave room for political correctness. You just, it's either you're going to follow God or you're going to follow the devil. And you know, there's tact and there's different ways you can put things. And you always hate the sin, not the sinner. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians have hated both, and it's really turned people off. But there's one God. And I love Jesus. He was bold. He said, listen, I'm the way. There ain't many ways to heaven. He said, I'm the only way. Now, that's boldness. He didn't say you can do it this way and this God. And, you know, you hear people on TV say, oh, there's many ways to heaven. Not according to Jesus. Jesus said, and either He was or He was nuts. Right? Either He was right. And that's what you have to decide. Either He was right on the money. And if He was right on the money, it calls us to live different. And we're talking about prayer, but we'll get there in a second, praise God. But if it's true, if this Bible thing's true, if we're really going to stand before Him someday, if we're really going to go to heaven for eternity, if He really is the only way, it calls us, there's no excuse to not live different. No excuse to not pursue Him wholeheartedly, because what we know by that truth that this world isn't where it's at, is what I'm trying to say. But Jesus was bold. He said, I'm the only way to heaven. This verse here says, there's one God and one mediator. Everybody say one mediator. One mediator between God and man. Who? The man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator or one go-between between us and the Father. Now, that's true in the sense of Jesus was the bridge that gapped us to the Father. That you know, there's that great divide between God and mankind. Sin was that great divide that kept us from Him. And I always like to picture Jesus as laying down His life as the bridge that we can walk across to get to God. And that's true. There's only one way to God. But this also has meaning in our prayer life. And Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the one that we that when we're praying, and you'll see more tonight, that will help get us get the job done. Now, I'm not here to pick on other denominations or other religions. That's not my heart ever. I'm a lover of all people, you know. But it is imperative to say that we don't pray to people. And again, I'm not here to pick on religions. I'm here to just preach the Bible. But we don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to different saints. We don't pray to a statue. We don't pray to an idea. And we don't pray to Jesus. And you're going to see that tonight. We pray to God through Jesus. And so it's important, again, I mean, we could all say, well, we know probably a lot of what he's talking about. Again, that's not my heart to pick apart and to. But I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. A man doesn't have our answer. Some saint that died years ago doesn't have our answer. The Virgin Mary, who was not a virgin after Jesus and had other kids, is not our answer. Right? And again, this is not a service going that way, but when we're talking about Jesus here tonight, I have to point these things out in prayer. Because a lot of people are confused when it comes to prayer. Because a lot of people have been taught their whole life. You pray to a person, you confess your sins to a man. That man can't forgive you of your sins. You have just as much of an ear to God as Billy Graham ever had. You have just as much God's ear as I'll ever have. You have just as much God's ear as Kenneth Hagin, Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Go down the list of the mighty people of faith. You have just as much of an ear to God as they do. You don't have to go through a human being to get to your Father. That's comforting to know, isn't it? One mediator, one go-between between God and man. Now go with me in the aspect of prayer to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Praise God. I think that's exciting to know that you can talk to God. You don't need me to get there to get to Him. He knows exactly what you need, wants to bless you. Listen, you don't have to come see me to get to Him. Or, well, have I ever talked to Pastor Mike before I talk to God? No, just talk to Him. He loves you. But John 16 and verse 23, it says, and in that day, now if you study the context, that day is talking about once Jesus dies on the cross, goes to heaven. And then that day that they're living in. In that day, you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask who? The Father. In my name, He will give it to you. Amen. Verse 24, hitherto or up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now go back to verse 23, Heather, if you wouldn't mind it. Appreciate that. In that day, you'll ask me nothing. So Jesus isn't, see, I'm not trying to put down a certain denomination or religion. I'm even saying you don't pray to Jesus. That's not biblical to pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And that's why I did that song tonight. I know we do it other times, but we're going to talk tonight about that name of Jesus. What that name of Jesus means for your life. We've already seen so far that Jesus is our go-between. That, you know, you always hear people say at the end of their prayers, in Jesus' name. Well, that's biblical. He said, when you pray to the Father, pray in my name. But it's not just some fancy thing we do at the end of the prayer to make it sound like we know what we're talking about. When you fully understand that name of Jesus and what's at your disposal, what is just waiting to be released in your life. I'll tell you what, the church world has no revelation. Well, I don't say no revelation, but they don't have near enough revelation as they need to have concerning that name of Jesus. And so we're going to look at that tonight. But he says here in verse 23, verily I say unto you that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. How exciting is that? That's a 100% success rate in prayer right there. You can have 100% results in prayer. You know, I know that's hard to believe in what religion will teach us and maybe the way we've prayed our whole life. I mean, again, when I use the word term Hail Mary here, I'm not talking about the Catholic faith. I'm talking about the football term. And by the way, I was right on with my Bills pick, wasn't I? Just, I mean, if you're someone that likes to play, pick the teams, just go with me. I'll get them right for you. I'm glad I was off, though. Praise God. And but a Hail Mary is what? At the end of a football game, right? Where you're down by a touchdown. Maybe you're really far away and the last ditch effort is to just chuck that ball up in the air, right? And just hope like heck it lands in your team. Now, it rarely happens. That's why they call it it's a Hail Mary, just launching up, which they get that term from a prayer. But that's the way most Christians are praying, just launching up Hail Marys, hoping that their prayers get answered. Not really sure if they're gonna, not really confident. Listen, I can't remember a time that I didn't pray not knowing what the outcome would be. I can't remember. Once I got knowledgeable about praying in the Word of God, I can't remember a time where I prayed, didn't get an answer, or know what the answer was going to be already before I prayed it. That's exciting. Yeah. It's not about, well, here, just throw it up in the air and hope he grabs it and does something with it. No. Having the confidence in your prayer life. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. But notice, he says, you ask it in his name. Verse 24, up until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy will be full. Brother Hagin was teaching this. He's a minister that died in 2003. He was teaching this, and a lawyer was in the congregation or the crowd that night. I don't know if it was a conference or when he was pastoring. And he was teaching about the name of Jesus. Or no, I take that back. This was, I believe it was, Brother Hagin heard this story from E.W. Kenyon. And when Kenyon was preaching this, a lawyer heard it about the name of Jesus. And the lawyer came up to him and said, so you're basically telling me that Jesus has given us power of attorney to use his name? And he phrased it kind of in a question. And Kenyon said, you're the lawyer. You tell me. Did Jesus give us power of attorney to use his name? And the lawyer said, by everything that the Bible's telling us, Jesus sure did give us power of attorney to use his name. Now, if you're not familiar with power of attorney, that might not mean much to you. But with power of attorney comes power. That's why it's called power of attorney. Comes responsibility. Now, what power of attorney is, and I'll just explain this the easiest way I can, is when you are given the power to act on the behalf of somebody else, when their financial affairs, their business affairs. My dad had a stroke back in April of 2004, and it debilitated not only his body, it debilitated, you know, quite a bit of his mind. And he was still at the ability to sign that over to me, and my sister and I became power of attorney for him. I can sign checks with my name on his account. I can represent him with him not even being here. And actually, I just did this the other day. In New York State, with deer hunting, they allow you to sign over two of your doe tags to somebody. When you get doe tags, you're allowed, or I should say, I'm allowed to get two people's doe tags. So, if someone wants to sign those over to me, you can sign the name, and you're only allowed two of those. Well, I get my own doe tags, and I just like to get as many deer tags as I can because I like to give the deer away and stuff, and I just enjoy hunting. So I went to Walmart without my dad there. He stayed in the nursing home, and I went there with power of attorney papers, with his driver's license and stuff. And I got a license for him without him even being there, without him even having to be there. Why? That's what a power of attorney can do. Somebody passes over the authority to act on their behalf. Jesus gave the church power of attorney to act as if they're him on planet Earth. Now that means, see, what power of attorney, the value that holds depends on what's backing that name. If Donald Trump all of a sudden makes you power of attorney, whoa, baby, right? To write checks from his bank account, to conduct personal business affairs, to make purchases on large things, you would legally be able to do that if you were Donald Trump's power of attorney. And you'd have a great scope of power, wouldn't you? Because of what's in his name. Now, if some person that's living on the street signed that over to you, you might not have as much power with that name. So power of attorney is all based on what backs that name. Well, we're going to find out tonight what backs the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm giving you the right to use my name on planet Earth. And it's awesome. And when you understand that full scope, see, it was hard for me at first to get used to this power of attorney thing. I almost felt dirty. I almost felt illegal writing checks. You know, now, you can abuse that and not use it the right way, and it won't work for you, and you can get yourself into trouble, sure. But I would never do that to my dad. But even, you know, writing a check, you know, going to the store, getting him groceries, and using his debit card and signing my name, man, I didn't feel good. But it was legal. It was legal, right? And so at first, it was hard to get used to that. But once I got the revelation of power of attorney, just freely going to Walmart. I say, I'm getting a license here for Paul Anderson. And they say, oh, you ain't him. I say, I know, but I got power of attorney that says I can act as him. Oh, yes, you do. Let's conduct business. Same with Jesus. What, you know, if you even just right now want to get a glimpse before we even look into this in detail, think about what he did on this earth. Think about the power that he had. Think about the authority that he had. And now he's saying, I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to show you more of the scriptures that brand that into you. So think about where he went and what he did. He's saying, you can do that acting on behalf of my name. See, the church world for so long has missed it because we've tried to do things in our own ability. We've tried to succeed in our own minds and in our own power and our own ability, and we were never meant to do that. We were meant to... See, if you're Donald Trump's power of attorney, and you're going, now maybe you're in a position where you could go and, you know, buy a $500 million casino. Now, if you are, man, I'm suspecting our tithe money is going to go up a lot more. If we have that kind of earning power in here, and praise the Lord, we'll be able to do a lot with that. But let's say you become Donald Trump's power of attorney, and you go to do that. It's going to be hard, right, to do that same purchase if you're Pastor Mike Anderson's power of attorney. You go and try to sit down in that business deal, or just yourself bringing your own income to a $500 million business deal, and see how they laugh at you, right? Here I am. Nope, I'm here. Donald Trump's bidding against me across the table, but I'm here. What's your earning power? And then you put it out there. And the lawyers and the business people and the realtors, they're going to laugh in your face. The devil's laughing in a lot of people's faces. They're trying in their own ability to heal the sick. They're trying to get finances. They're trying to get their family blessed on their own ability and their own power. And the devil's sitting there laughing at them because you don't have what it takes on your own. But thank God we were never meant to do this on our own. He said, I've given it to you. I've given you the power of attorney to use my name. Just like I can go around using the name of Paul Anderson. I can act as if I'm him and I'm not even him. I can go buy a whole cart full of groceries on a check that has his name on it and walk out of there not feeling like I have to look back or run. That it's legal to do so. Same with the name of Jesus. And that lawyer said, wow, Jesus gave us power of attorney to use his name. I'm going to show you that now. But let's look at what's in that name, first of all. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember, he said, ask it in my name. Praise God. Philippians 2. Yeah, I'll just keep going back to the same examples because it makes sense to me. Be like Donald Trump telling you, okay, go down and make that $1 million transaction. Just go down and say, you know, Mr. Trump, I worked for you, but you know, I don't have that kind of earning power. I don't have that kind of money. Oh no, wait, we have the lawyers here. We just drew this up right now. Now you could go down and do it because you have my power. And he could say to you, this is what I have in my bank account. This is what I have at my disposal. And then you can go down to those meetings in confidence, knowing I got a bankroll backing me up. Same with the power of attorney in Jesus' name. Things that come your way and having confidence in that, knowing what's in the name. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of a man. Wow. Said, let that mind be in you. We're always trying to bang our own drum, aren't we? Yeah. Trying to exalt ourselves. You know, the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It says, but it comes from God. He puts one up and takes another one down. You just do what you're supposed to do. God will get you where you need to go. Stop trying to bang your own drum. Stop trying to put yourself out there. Stop trying to be somebody. Be somebody in his eyes and he'll make you somebody in other people's eyes. It's true. Be somebody in God's eyes and he'll make you somebody in other people's eyes. made himself, let that mind be in you, made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant. Wow. Everybody wants to be the boss. You can't be the boss until you're the servant. The greatest among you will be a servant, the Bible says. And being found in fashion as a man. Yeah, that's why I would love it, Wednesday night service. I always get interrupted at different things. I don't know if there's a different hunger level Wednesday nights or what it is, but you know, I'd never be pastor in two churches had I not got a place in my life where I was serious and told my pastor, I'll cut the grass on my hands and knees with scissors if you want me to. And I meant it. I'll do whatever you want me to. I remember, I do not mean to get crude youth group jokes, but you got to remember I'm a youth group leader. And so sometimes youth group things come out. We got back one time from, I was leading youth group from a youth group trip where there was a senior youth group and a junior youth group. And there was a young lady that used the bathroom, and let's just say she really, really, really had to go. And there was proof and evidence that she really, really, really had to go because it messed up the toilet, and she was embarrassed, didn't tell anybody about it. Well, when all the kids left, you know, the other leaders and different people, nobody wanted to go in there and clean that. But that's the house of God. That's the house of God. It's kind of funny thinking about youth group. And you know what, man? I was like, you know what? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get on my hands and knees, and I'm going to clean it as if Jesus is going to come in here and sit on this. I'm telling you, you won't get promoted by God until you're ready to do the little things.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. The least in your life. How do you treat the least in your life? And so be a servant. Serve God. Amen. And look at what it says. It says, he found fashion as a man. He humbled himself. That was humbling. That was humbling. First of all, what am I even doing in a woman's bathroom? Right? On my hands and knees cleaning this. I didn't do this. Glory to God. Humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But look at this. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. Now notice this. And given him a name. What are we talking about tonight? Using the name of Jesus. Gave Jesus a name which is above every name. He's above poverty. He's above despair, depression, anxiety, fear, worry. You name this sickness, that sickness, this sickness, that sickness, this situation, this circumstance, this name of this disease, this name of this problem. He's above all those names. That at that name, verse 10 of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. So we see that name has some power to it, doesn't it? Go to Ephesians 1 and verse 16. Hallelujah. And I'll just throw this out there. I'll give you homework. You won't get the revelation of the name of Jesus from sitting in a 50-minute service. You'll hear it, and maybe the faith will come, and maybe it'll strengthen your faith. But to get that revelation, you got to get in these things. You got to meditate on these things. Because faith cometh, or belief cometh, for what you need for it by hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen. You know, you don't become proficient on healing after one healing service.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't become proficient on financial prosperity after hearing it one time. It's a repetitive, reoccurring thing that you hear over and over and over. But this is worthy of hearing over and over and over and over. Ephesians 1 and verse 16, Paul says this. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I'll just say this as a side note. Ephesians 1, verse 16 through 23 is a Holy Ghost-inspired prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. Now, when something's given by the Holy Ghost or it's the Word of God, there's no expiration date on it. He prayed this for a whole church for a purpose, so that what he was praying for in that prayer would come to pass in their life, which tells me that without the praying of that prayer, those things don't come to pass in their life. And Brother Hagin, who knew what he was doing, had good success, pastored for 12 years. And there's a prayer found in Ephesians 3, starts in verse 14, and this prayer in Ephesians 1. He said he prayed these prayers. There was a season and time where he prayed these prayers for his congregation. Made on purpose, would think of these and pray these prayers. He said he saw more growth, more enlightenment of the Word come to them than he had ever seen in any other time. I can attest to that. And praying for certain people, you have someone that's struggling with healing, you have someone that's struggling with the revelation of tithing, someone that's struggling with the revelation of how to raise kids, whatever with the Word. These are prayers that can be prayed for the Christian. that will make dynamic success for them. Now, I didn't say for the unbeliever. The unbeliever, this is not prayers for the unbeliever. This is prayers for the believer, and you'll see as I read these prayers why you'd want to pray them for a believer. But if you know somebody that's a Christian, that's struggling, that's not, doesn't have a revelation of the local church, doesn't have a revelation of walking with God, doesn't have a revelation of being in church, having a pastor, bringing a tithe, bringing an offering, walking in love, whatever it is, a revelation of healing, whatever, fill in the blank, pray these prayers for them. Whenever you think of it, it takes like 30 seconds to do so. You just fill in the blank with their name, where it says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for, and then you could just fill in the blank. For example, I'd pray these for myself. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me, give unto the South Dayton Church, give unto the Olean Church, give unto fill-in-the-blank family member, fill-in-the-blank person at work, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See why you need to pray that? The wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is that exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now notice this. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name. There it is again. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. There it is again. Heather, if you go to verse 21. Far above every name. He's not just a little bit above cancer. He's not just a little bit above AIDS. He's not just a little bit above poverty. He's far above these things. Far above these things. Glory to God. Far above them. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Showing you what's in that name. That name that's been given to you to use. When you find out you got Donald Trump's name to use and everything that goes with that, wow. Hold on, we're going for a ride, right? Praise God. When you find out that you got power of attorney to legally act as if you're Jesus Christ on this earth and get the results that hang on, life's about to change. The journey and the ride you're about to go on is way better than it's ever been before when you get that revelation. Matthew 28, and again, we're talking about this in prayer. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power. Now, if you look that word power up in the Greek, it's actually the word authority. All authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, that's good for us because we haven't been to heaven yet. So thank God Jesus didn't say, you can have power of attorney. My name won't do any good. Right? Won't do you any good down there. When you get to heaven, it'll be good. No, He says it's on earth as well. But notice what He says. He says, all authority is given unto me. All authority, praise God, is given unto me. But then look what He says in verse 19. Because big deal that all authority is given to Jesus. Big deal, right? He's not even here anymore. It doesn't do us any good. It did Him good for 3.5 years in His ministry. For 30 years He was here, but for 3.5 He was in ministry. It did Him good that time. But we read this now. Who cares that Jesus has all authority? So what? Thank God there's a verse 19. He says, since all authority has been given unto me, and see, He already knew that He said, ask the Father in my name. He's saying, go you therefore. Because I have all authority, because I've told you to use my name, which you have all the authority that my name has and encompasses at your disposal, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know what verse 19 basically saying? Go therefore and be dominant in this world and tear the devil's kingdom up. That's what He's saying. Since all authority has been given unto me, He says, I want to give it unto you now because I'm telling you, you can ask the Father my name. You can use my name and everything that backs my name. And because of that, now go forth and tear the devil's world upside down. Amen. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Hallelujah. We have been authorized to use the name of Jesus, which we've just seen is above every name on heaven, in heaven and on earth, in all realms, It's not just a little bit above every name. It's a far above every name. And we've been authorized to use it. He says, go forward with that power. Yeah. Can you see why we need to know this stuff? Can you see why a lot of Christians are living far beneath than what they should be? The devil will absolutely take advantage of a lack of knowledge. I can't stress that enough. Ignorance is not bliss, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's what the world says. The world tries to get you to think, well, if I just don't know it, I'm okay. No, if you don't know it, you're just as much in trouble if you're doing it wrong. Yeah, ignorance is not bliss. And when you don't know that you have the name, you're not going to use the name, right? So if you don't know what it is and that you have that authority, it's not going to work for you. And so what can the name do? And then this is what we're going to look at tonight. What can the name do for you? And one thing you need to know is that it's not an abracadabra thing. What do I mean by that? It's not just, okay, he said, I can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And he said, whatsoever I ask, okay, in the name of Jesus, I will wake up tomorrow morning and I will be a foot taller. Stupid, right? That's stupid. It's not abracadabra. Let's pull the name of Jesus out of the hocus pocus hat. And, you know, when I wake up tomorrow, there will be a Lamborghini in my driveway in Jesus' name. And you wake up and you look out there and say, oh, the Bible doesn't work. That's ignorance, right? Brother Hagin would say, bless their darling heart and their stupid heads, right? That's what that is. That's what that is. Hallelujah. No, you need to go in line with the Word. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Oh, I'm going to help you tonight. I'm going to really help you with something, not only for the kingdom of God's purpose, but your own personal life. It's going to be exciting about what we're going to show you at the end here. But 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, towards the end of the Bible there, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, which we know He hears us if we ask according to His will, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desire of Him. So we need to ask in context or in line with what His will is. And when we hear that, immediately there's a temptation to take the wind out of our sails. Because let's just face it, most people, I don't believe it's this way here, I'm going to say for all those other churches out there in the world, but most people, when they think about asking in the name of Jesus, they go to immediately personal things for themselves. They don't think outside the box for the kingdom. A lot of people don't, where they put themselves on the sidelines and they start thinking personal life, relationships, financial things, things that I desire, things that I want. And so when you hear this and you hear it has to be in line with His will, a lot of times the wind can be taken out of our sails because we've had such a wrong idea of who our Father is that we think that God wants just the kingdom really blessed, but us to just skip by and get by. Let me just tell you, we're going to show you a verse at the end that's going to really give you encouragement, really give you faith. Not only is God talking about asking things in line with the will for the kingdom, but you have to understand that your Father wants you blessed. He wants you happy. He wants you to enjoy life. He doesn't want you to skimp by. He doesn't want you just to have barely enough. He doesn't want it to be hard. He knows you have desires. He's put some of those desires there. He knows you have things that you'd like to do that would be fun and not just necessary, right? Things that you wouldn't have to do, but things that you would find pleasure in doing. I don't just provide just the bare necessities for Caleb to get by, you know, all he needs is just milk and whatever to get by. No, we have things in the cupboard like animal cookies with icing on them. Doesn't need those, but I know he would enjoy them. So I'm his daddy, so I give them to him, right? We have things like ice cream, and we have things like fun toys with sandboxes and take him fun places. Not because he needs to, but because he would enjoy it. And your dad's better than my dad is, God, or better than me and better than my dad could be, and God is good. So don't, when you hear, oh, it's got to be in line with his will, there goes my nice car, there goes my nice house. No, you're going to see a verse tonight that's going to give you faith to stand on those things. But I'm going to put that verse last because I believe the kingdom should come first. I believe people in the kingdom should come first. But see, the good thing is God never told us choose one or the other. He says, listen, in fact, he says, if you'll go after me first, I'll make sure you get all those other things. Yeah, that's what he says. And so we're going to go to that at the end here. But I want to show you what that name can do. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Now, if you're a guy here, I'm just not geared this way. And generally speaking, women are more like this. Ladies, if you want a wardrobe full of the clothes that you want, you can have it. You can have it. Yeah. I'm just going to say that right now. If there's a bigger house that you want that would more meet your needs and more be suitable for you, but you don't necessarily need it. Listen, it's pretty basic what we really need in this life. It's really kind of small what we really need to survive. If you want the better house, you can have it. You want the better car, you can have it. You want to believe for the perfect spouse, you can have it. You can have it. Don't let the devil tell you you can't. Praise God. Anyways, let's see here. Mark 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now here it is, verse 17. In my name they shall cast out devils. Wow, power in that name. That's why when we sing there's power in the name of Jesus, I know there's power in the name of Jesus. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's not telling you to be stupid and go play with snakes. You ever see those groups of Christians that are snake handlers? And they think that it means, well, the Bible says we have protection. Let's go get some cobras. Dumb. The Bible says we have protection. Go jump in front of a semi and see how protected you are. You're going to get to heaven and God's going to call you a dummy. And he's going to say, come on in. I'll even let the dummies in. Praise God. That's talking about divine protection in the name of Jesus. Supernatural protection. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now let's look at these. In my name, verse 17, they shall cast out devils. Real quick, jump to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke 10 and verse 19. The name of Jesus. Power in that name. Luke 10 and verse 19. And we'll go back to those verses in a second. Behold, I give unto you power. Again, that word power there in the Greek should be translated the word authority. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents. It's like when I took that after school job, which I'll have a story about that in a second. And I got there, and the previous after school coordinator got fired, but she had hired all her friends. And so when I got on board, boy, those people didn't like me. They're always teenage girls and into their young 20 girls. And here comes this, guy coming in to tear up their fun and tear up their texting parties and bringing all this food while just let the kids do anything. And, at first it was just kind of running wild. I mean, it overtook me. But, man, when I finally realized, wait a minute, I got authority here. Either they shape up or they're gone. Either they change or they're gone. See, when you understand that you have the authority, you do something about it. And it says in verse 19, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Now go back to Mark 16, where he said, verse 17, in my name they'll cast out devils. There was a gentleman after service at the Olean Church. He was just visiting, staying in the hotel. This was months ago. He was soaking wet and just real nervous acting. And he came and talked to me after service. He said, I really need to talk to somebody. And he told me what was going on in his life. And he had a devil. And he knew it. He knew he had a devil. But see, when you can't just cast the devil out of anybody, just so you know. The person has to want the devil to be cast out, or if the person doesn't want it, there has to be a gift of the Spirit that manifests. It's interesting. Remember back when Paul and Silas got beaten, thrown in prison? The reason they got beaten, thrown in prison is because they cast the devil out of that girl. The girl had some people that were kind of her masters, and they knew that she had a spirit of divination, the Bible says, fortune-telling on her. And she was following Paul around, harassing him. It's interesting that Paul didn't just cast the devil out of her when she first came across his path. He couldn't. She didn't want that devil cast out of her. And also, there was no gift of the Spirit that revealed it to him. But when it did, Paul was able to cast it out. So we can't just go around casting devils out. But in this case, this gentleman said to me, and I'll tell you, this was one of my real first experiences with this. And he came to me and told me everything that was going on. And I was like, whoa, demon possessed. He has a devil. And in the flesh, you can be tempted to kind of get afraid about that. See, the devil's, He's just, all he is the Wizard of Oz. Big tribe, big show, big light show. He's nothing. He's weak and defeated. And then I remember, no, wait a minute, I have authority over the devil. I don't care if there's 20 devils that manifest here. Remember I told you the story about Smith Wigglesworth? Had a revelation of the devil, woke up in the middle of the night, rolled over, and there was the devil himself in his bedroom, and he looked at him and said, oh, it's just you, and rolled over and went back to sleep. Most of you would have peed your pants. Right? But not if you have the revelation of who he is. Right? Not if you have the revelation of who he is. And praise God. And so he's telling me, he's soaked, he's nervous. And he said, I have a devil. I said, do you want that thing? No, I want to be delivered. I said, well, here's what the Word says. The Word says that I can cast that thing out of you. Can I lay hands on you? Absolutely. I said, in the name of Jesus. Didn't pray and ask God to do anything. He said, I had the authority. In the name of Jesus, you come out of him. Now, when I do that, with the authority that I have and knowing what I know, the devil has to leave. It's not optional. It's not an option. So, you know, the devil leaves. Now, there's an after thing that, unfortunately, he never followed up on. I told him, listen, you're going to have to renew your mind. You're going to have to fill that mind with good things now. Because the Bible says that when a devil goes out, it seeks somewhere to go into. And when it has nowhere to go, it comes back to its home. And if it finds the home empty, what I mean by empty, filled up with good things, the Word, it says it'll bring other devils with him and make it 7 times worse than it was before. And so I told him, I said, you have to get in a church. I mean, this was a divine connection. He was like 25 minutes. He was visiting from California. He was 25 minutes from Pastor Nancy's church in California. And I told him, he told me the city. I Googled, I said, you're 25 minutes from Pastor Nancy Dufresne's church. I said, this devil's cast out of you. And I gave him a book. I said, read this book, Meditating Scriptures. And when you get home, you go submit to her. And you say, I want you to be my pastor. I said, your life will change. Never heard back from the guy. Called and called and texted. Just couldn't, probably never did anything with it. But at that moment, that devil, gone. A change. You see a change in him. You could tell there was peace. You could tell that he had experienced some hope for the first time. I mean, this thing is just tormenting him all the time. Well, we can do that if you come across those things. But this is but you might never come across somebody. But how many of you know the devil can harass you? You know, one of the ways that the devil will work in your life is through other people. Whether it be family members, whether it be in jobs with bosses or fellow employees, the devil can work, and the devil can cause great grief through other human beings. And it's important to find out what's going on there. Because sometimes things have to cast out the devil. Sometimes you need to change your attitude. Sometimes maybe you just need to walk in love. But there's other times where you're doing everything right and they're just being unreasonable people, causing you grief no matter what you do. You're loving to them. You're walking in the power of the Word. You're being sweet to them. And they're just causing all sorts of hell to break loose in your life. Probably they're being possessed. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. It's the spiritual realm that we're wrestling against. Well, Brother Hagin taught, when those things happen, in the name of Jesus, you have authority over that devil. You can say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to cease and desist and stop those maneuvers against me. I had, when I was in that after-school program, I told you this story about the guy, him and his co-worker who was under him. They liked to smoke, and they weren't allowed to smoke on school grounds. They had to go actually out to the road. Well, at times in winter, they didn't want to do that, and so they would try to sneak it, and in the hallways, you know, the door would open into like a garage where then double doors would open to go outside. And so they would go in there and smoke, and the problem with that was because they didn't want the smoke to go outside, it would come through the doors and under and in the halls with the kids, and, you know, I'm just very protective over children. And so I did something about that and went to them and said, you know, you guys can't do this. I got kids. I'm responsible for them, and it's filling the hallways. And okay, we'll change. It never changed. So now I got to be even worse than the bad guy. Try to do it the right way. Keep them from not getting in trouble. That's not my heart. Go to the principal. Have to tell them, listen, this is what's happening. Kids are smelling it. Kids are commenting. Parents are getting upset. Well, it gets back to them. Of course, the principal goes and tells them, stop doing it. It wasn't the first time. Well, then they know because it's happened during after school hours. They wouldn't dare do it when everyone else is there. They know that I've told them. So what they did, which shocked me, devil influence. The devil don't care about little kids. He ain't a sweet guy. They shut the double doors and they open the door to the hallway and they turn the tractor on in that place and the carbon monoxide just starts going right through the, well, I have to get on the phone immediately for something like that and get a hold of somebody, you know. And well, I'm walking the next day with a group of kindergartners down the hall. the kindergarten leaders weren't there that day. I had that class. It was my favorite age group. And I'm walking down the halls of these kids. And this guy just out of nowhere jumps in my face and threatens me in front of these kids. I mean, they're terrified. They're crying. And then he just walks away like nothing ever happened. Stone face. And so I had to, you know, further proceed even more. And finally, I was going through all these natural measures and nothing was getting done. I mean, they even tried to put me in a meeting with the head of the union guy, and they tried to manipulate me, and it was a very uncomfortable meeting, and all these things were happening. And finally, I said, you know what? The devil's behind this. I know the devil's behind this. And I said, in the name of Jesus, this is what I said, because I have authority over the devils. That spirit that's causing that guy to cause me so much grief, you stop your maneuvers against me now in the name of Jesus. I'm not kidding you. It wasn't a week later and the guy had a heart attack. Never heard from again in that school. And his buddy wouldn't even so much look at me. The whole thing just stopped. Now, am I saying God gave the guy a heart attack? No. No, I'm not saying that. But who knows what the devil was keeping going in this guy's life and helping him out a little bit. See, a lot of times people think, I've seen this case when people leave their place of where they're going to church. The devil's not stupid in the sense of when somebody leaves and gets their place, walks away from the blessing. I've had people tell me, Pastor Mike, I'm not leaving you for nothing. I've had them say that to me. And then something was taught by the word, and they'll say, I can't agree with that, or I'm just not going to line my life up with that. And they leave offended at the word. When they've told me I'm with you till the end, right? They'll walk out of their place. And life doesn't go down the tubes right away. You think the devil's that dumb where all of a sudden he's going to start attacking them? No, what he's going to do is going to wait for him to get comfortable. Wait for him to get comfortable. But inevitably, it always comes back and starts to get worse. And at first, it might seem like everything's okay. Things might even get better. The devil's a sneaky guy. But in the end, you always reap. And that guy had a heart attack, and the other guy never gave me a problem or nothing. It was like he was at my beck and call of what he could do for me. And it didn't happen. I tried to do all this natural stuff. And you might be trying to do all this natural stuff. And if it's not working, there's a spirit behind it. Or getting into prayer and finding out, you know, you have a family member, something that's going on, or a business deal or something that, you know, should happen. It's just being held up. Might be a spirit behind that that you need to take authority over, that you'll never be able to deal with it in the natural realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Getting anything tonight? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what I'm going to do? Instead of rushing through this, I'm going to make this a two-parter. Because I'm going to already keep you here for an hour, and I just know in my heart, I know you all would be willing to stay, and you'd be hungry to stay. I believe that if I asked you, you would. But, you know, I've been taught by the best of the best that you can't, your heart can only endure as much as your hind end can take, right? And I don't want to rush through this next point especially. And so we'll make this a two-parter where we finish up the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to dangle that carrot out there for you because I told you there's something for your personal life that you're going to be able to stand on, that's going to propel you into believing God for those fun things in your life. Those things that maybe aren't necessarily needs, but that you just want to have. You want a bigger house. You want a better car. You want a better wardrobe. You want to take a cruise. You want to go on a trip. Well, good for you, you can. And I'll give you the verses to show it to you, but not tonight. Coming back. Praise the Lord. But I don't want to rush mainly. I don't want to rush through this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Talking about, remember, the very first point, that he gives us authority to cast out devils. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible here is telling you one of the tools of the enemy. What is the gospel? The gospel is what saves us. The gospel is what keeps us from eternal damnation. The gospel is what heals our body, does all these wonderful things. And it says that the devil blinds the minds of unbelievers. That one of the powers of the enemy is to blind an unbeliever's mind. And the greatest example I can think of is if you were driving down the road and there was a sign that said, slow down, turn around, cliff out or bridge out up ahead. You would not see that and say, oh, it's just time for me to step on the gas and go faster and see what happens. You'd have to be out of your right mind to do that, wouldn't you? You'd either have to be out of your right mind to do that, or the place wasn't adequately marked, or there was a wrong side. Somehow you'd have to be blinded from knowing that. Because anybody in their right mind, if they're told there's a cliff out, or if there's a bridge out and there's a cliff up ahead, is going to stop, slow down, and turn around and not go that way, right? Nobody's going to drive off a cliff in their right mind to their death. Nobody is going to walk off the face of the earth and go into a place of eternal damnation in their right mind. It would be silly to do so. The gospel's free. It costs you no money, costs you no amount of works. All it costs you is belief in Jesus. That's how simple it is. Nobody in their right mind would turn that down. Because it doesn't cost you anything. It's only addition to your life. It's only you gaining. But we see how it happens. The devil blinds the minds of people. So this is what I want to help you with. We taught you how to pray for Christians tonight, which we're going to look at this probably more in this series. You pray those Ephesian prayers for them, ones that aren't getting it. Healing doesn't make sense. The unbelievers, you can't pray those prayers for them because they're not believers yet. They're in the devil's territory. But the only reason they're on the devil's territory, maybe you've witnessed to them, maybe other people, maybe you've told them about Jesus. They're just not interested. Well, because they're not in the right mind. The devil's blinded their minds. So what do? You take authority over that devil. You take authority over the devil on the unbelievers that are in your life, and you say, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off that person. You take your hands off that person. Now, here's what you'll see, what ministers have said and what I've found in my own life. I'm talking about ministers that have done this for years, seen results. That once you get outside of your sphere of influence, your real close family members, that authority starts to wane. And it's not as strong. Because if we could do that, wouldn't we do that with everybody in the world? Wouldn't we go into everybody and just say, in the name of Jesus, devil, get off, and their minds would be loose and they would receive Jesus. But it doesn't work that way. But when it's within your family members, you know, especially close family members, that authority, you have a sphere of influence or a sphere of authority that seems to be there. Just like you can see it naturally with my own children. You can't believe God for my children, but I can. I can't believe God for your children like you can believe God for your children. I don't have authority over your children's life like you have authority over my, or you know, mom and dad, family members. My pastor got revelation of this and did this because he learned it from Brother Hagin. Thank God for Brother Hagin. Learned it from him, and he did. He took authority. And I think he said within 6 months, is what I think, if anybody remember, it was close, right? It wasn't very long. I think almost everybody and close siblings and close people were all born again after he got the revelation of how to do it. See, we're praying the wrong, we're not being skillful in how we do it. You got to go right to the heart of the matter. Go right to the point. The point is, they got, as long as the blinders are on them, doesn't matter how much you tell about Jesus. Doesn't matter how, they're blinded. Nobody's going to drive off the cliff unless they're blinded or they don't know. Take advantage, take control of that. Take, another thing you can do for the unbeliever is pray for a laborer to be sent their way. Pray for somebody to listen to. Because maybe you say, well, what do I do for the people outside my sphere of influence? The Bible says you can pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest field. Pray for somebody to go talk to them that they'll listen to. Somebody that will preach the word to them that they'll have it, that they'll give their ear to. And the third thing that you can do is you can pray in tongues for them. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you make tremendous power available for somebody. You can make it hard for people not to accept Jesus. Especially those, now you get all three of those together. Imagine if you took, I think my pastor said he took his lunch break and picked out a family member and prayed in tongues 30 minutes to an hour for them. And within 6 months, I believe, I'll meet with them tomorrow, I'll find out the exact time frame. They were all born again. I mean, people serving the devil just all of a sudden coming into the kingdom of God. Why? Started being skillful. Started hitting the mark on things. We're going to be a skillful church. The only word I can think of is doggone it. We're going to be skillful in what we do around here. We're not going to waste our time. If you're going to come out here on a Wednesday night, driving from Fredonia, Olean, Forestville, all the places you come from, we're going to get something. We're not just going to play fluffy, fluffy church. Amen. Praise God. And so you need to take authority over that. You need to take authority over that. Praise God. And cast that devil off that person. And pray for a laborer to go across their path. That's why I didn't want to rush this. This is serious stuff. Matthew 9 is your reference that tells you that you can pray for a laborer to go across somebody's path. And that's what I do, because there's certain people that, man, if I could just bind the devil and tell the devil to take his hands off everybody in the world, I would. But like, if I see somebody that's walking down the road, well, you know, one example was a gentleman, I was driving down the road. I'll just tell you how I am. I hope it rubs off on you. Everywhere I go, I'm thinking, who can I win to Jesus? Because I might be the only Jesus that comes across them. Now, there's skillful ways to do that, hearing from heaven of how to talk to them and what you can do. And I'm just always on the lookout because I know this stuff's real. And again, if this stuff's real, it causes you to be different. It causes you to have to react. It causes you to have to do something. If hell's real, that's like that gentleman that preached at Pastor Tim's church that wrote that book, 23 Minutes in Hell. He said he wishes every Christian could have just a five-second glimpse of what he saw. He said, it'd make a soul winner out of all of you. He said he went and saw Niagara Falls after and just couldn't stop staring at all the water. Because when you're in hell, we have scripture on Luke, in Luke 16 about the rich man that went to hell. He said, send Lazarus that he would just dip his finger in water and just touch my tongue with a drop. Just wanted a drop of water. Hell's a real place. Hell's a real place. And you know, people that are outside that influence. If I was to tell you a story, I saw a guy, I drove by, he was a homeless man in a laundry mat that would go at nighttime when people weren't there, and that's where he'd sleep. So I went and got my debit card and took out some money, and I went there. It was really stupid for me to go alone. He was not thrilled with me. But my heart was to win him to Jesus. And I went in there with money, and just, he wouldn't even look at me and talk to me, and the look he gave me is I just knew I needed to get out. I said, I didn't mean to bother you, I just wanted to bless you with this, and let you know the Lord loves you and has got a good plan for your life. Anyways, I knew I can't just tell the devil to get off that guy. I don't have that kind of authority, but I can pray, Lord, send someone that he will listen to. Send a laborer across his path. You know, you have people that won't listen to you, that can't get anything from you because of, you know, the hometown syndrome. When Jesus was in his own hometown, he couldn't do there no mighty work. Why? He was just Jesus. You're just you to these people. My family just sees me as the a lot of my family still sees me as the guy that had 26 jobs in 2 years, couldn't hold a job, that would go up in the casino in the middle of a snowstorm with hardly any gas and just empty his credit cards and debit cards and anything that he could find money on to play. That's all they see me as. The person that they'd see drunk all the time and, you know, just living an immoral life. And so when I try to tell them about Jesus, it's boom and boom, right in one out the other. But I can pray that they'll listen to somebody. We just had a family member, and I'm almost in tears saying it, that lives out of town on Courtney's side. And we pray this way for these people. Now, in family members, I do it. Listen, when it comes to heaven and hell, I throw everything I have at them. If they're in family, I don't care if I have authority or not. I'm going to try it. You know, there was a situation where Brother Hagin was in a dire situation with a person I can't remember, and they asked him, you know, Brother Hagin, in that situation, it was that dire, that hard, what'd you do? He said, everything I knew to do. I threw every prayer I knew to throw at that situation. Just sometimes it just do what you know to do, right? And so when it comes to heaven or hell, I'm taking authority over that devil and with my authority. Now, if my influence kind of wanes on them, well, then I'll get them another way. But we pray, Lord, send them a laborer. And this friend that you wouldn't, you know, sometimes people, the Bible says the root of all evil is the love of money. Sometimes people that have lots of money in the world because they're successful, they don't see a need for Jesus. Their needs are met. They can do fun things. They have a good life. And so, and it was kind of this way for a family member that we kind of recognize that. They know who I am. They've got my book, and they know we're pastoring churches, but we don't get a whole lot of interest. They just kind of are cordial and everything. And they're very, 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 very well off on her side of the family. And so we just pray, Lord, send them a laborer. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And we just found out that she went to a Christian conference with a girl that she met at work and came back and said that she loved it. And I looked into this conference, and they preached the word there. They gave a salvation call. Now, and when we heard that she went there, but not only went there, but loved it, we just, on our knees, Lord, thank you so much. Because, see, he's the exceeding abundant God. Just give him something to work with. Just give him the ability to send a laborer to that person. Because you think in your head, there's no way anybody will accept Jesus. I was on the park one day with Caleb. I had to get him out of there fast because these young teenagers were over there saying a lot of words that started with the letter F. And loudly, and thank God he's never heard that word, because if he did, that's all that would come out of his mouth. He's like a little parrot. And so I like cover his ears and get him away from that situation. But immediately, my heart wanted to judge those people, but then I said, you know what? That was me. See, you have these people in your life that you think will never... No, no, you have a pastor. Maybe it was you at one time. You tell somebody I would have been a pastor and pastor in two churches and helping people and preaching the Word of God, and living a holy life. No way. I was that person. There ain't no help for him. Throw him on the spiritual junk heap, right? The spiritual junk pile. Maybe your life was like that. Maybe you have people in your life thinking, ain't nothing going to break. No, no, you ain't God. You are not God. Just pray. Lord, send them a laborer. Send them a laborer. Pray in tongues for them. Make power available for them. Get on your face. Pray 20 minutes a day for your family in tongues. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how the changes come. Amen? Well, that's why I didn't want to push it. So we'll pick up this name of Jesus next week, 6:30. Don't miss it. Even if you say, I don't give a rip about the kingdom of God. Well, I bet you give a rip about your life. And there'll be some good things. Let me just say this. Your life would get a whole lot better if you'd start giving a rip about the kingdom. That's heaven's order. Seeking first the kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. You want, why are things not added to me? Why are things taken away and subtracted? You're doing it wrong. Wrong order. Not seeking first the kingdom. Doing it your own way. Stop doing it your own way. You'll end up underwater with your guitar floating down the river and sleeping in a wet sleeping bag with bat poop falling on your head all night. That's what it was. I was terrified that whole night. Bats, I don't know. They just don't look like they know what they're doing, even though I know they're very intelligent. But they just get real close and are doing all this. I don't want to deal with that while I'm sleeping. But that's what will happen to you. You'll end up with bat poop on your head if you do things your own way. But Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful and so thankful to be here. Lord, that name of Jesus, that's got so much power. Lord, we have a whole week now to meditate on that name and how powerful that name is. Lord, that you've given us the permission to use it, to stand in authority as power of attorney. We're like walking, talking Jesuses down here with heaven's account backing us up. Glory to God. We praise you tonight, Father. I thank you again for people being so faithful. Father, I don't try to drag this stuff out, but there's certain things that just are too important to just rush through. Father, I thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the word. Now, Father, I don't know everybody personally in here, and I don't know everybody that could be listening by live stream. So real quick, heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, whoa, this is so new to me. This is a whole different life that I never even knew I could have. Listen, God has an awesome plan for your life. He loves you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass you tonight. We're not going to have you come up front or say anything. But I do want to ask you a question. If tonight were your last night on planet Earth, where would you go? Ask yourself that. If tonight were my last night on planet Earth, where would I go? If you say, I don't know, or if you can't say 100% sure it's heaven, well, man, you can leave here asking yourself that question, and your answer will every time be, I'm going to heaven when I die. How? Because the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done up until this point. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done, how many bad things you've done. God loves you so much, and he's made it simple. You don't even have to come back here next week. You don't have to give any money for it. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose again, the Bible says you're qualified. You're a candidate for salvation. If you can say that to me, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I'm trying to be very respectful of other people here tonight. But if you want to receive Jesus and know that you're going to heaven, would you just raise your hand if you can say, I don't know. I see that hand. You can put it down. I'm telling you what, you'd have to be a fool not to. It's free. He loves you. He just wants to give you heaven. We had one hand. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus here tonight? Know for sure that you're going to heaven? Walk out of here with that assurance. We don't want to rush this. We want to make sure people have the opportunity. Anybody else, just raise your hand if you've never received Jesus and you want to. Father, we had one hand, and that doesn't mean it's the only hand that should have gone up, Father. There's sometimes people that are shy. But Lord, also there's people that could be listening or listen in the future that need to hear this. But Father, we thank you for the one hand. And Lord, thank you made it simple for people. If you raised your hand, listen, all you have to do is ask him into your heart. And then you don't ever have to do this again. I don't care if you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. Just ask him to forgive you. He's not leaving you, though. So if you raised your hand, or you know you should have, or if you're listening and I can't see you, obviously, go ahead and pray this with me. We're all going to pray it with you, so don't think you're going to be the only voice. But everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. So much for being, so much for being, so much for being, so much for being.